All right, holidays. Treat everybody well?
Sure.
Yeah.
You?
Stuffed, yeah. Stuffed. Good, well, I'm down to the home stretch here on the regular season, so, you know, hopefully we can play our best game on Sunday. Been a long time since we've seen Buffalo. I think both teams have made a lot of improvement. I hope we have, and see if we can put a risk game out there Sunday afternoon.
You mentioned the amount of uncertainty, I think is a word you used to describe the start of the regular season, not knowing what you necessarily have. Is there maybe an opposite sort of feeling now, or maybe a renewed sense of that because the playoffs are starting, anything like that?
Well, I mean, certainly we know a lot more now than we knew then. So, you know, 16, 15 regular season games, you know, a lot of practices. Yeah, we know a lot more. I think we have a much better idea of what the strengths and weaknesses of our teams are. We've seen those attacked as well by our opponents on a weekly basis. So, yeah, I think you're at that time of year now where there's not a whole lot new. You know, they know what you have, you know what they have, and try to go out there and, you know, match it up. Try to cover up things that you think they're going to try to attack points that you think they're weak at, vice versa. So, yeah, I know a lot more.
Looking back on that week one game, in some ways, last second field goal from Steve to win the game, close game, having to come back, and then maybe specific to the personnel of both Shane and Julian playing maybe bigger roles than we've seen them play in previous seasons. In some ways, it's sort of a microcosm of what the season has become for you guys.
True.
Do you think maybe that first win of the season sort of laid the foundation for things to unfold? Now, certainly, you couldn't predict that you have as many close games, but in some ways, did that maybe spin the wheels a little bit and teach you guys something about winning close games late in the fourth quarter, or you know, coming from behind?
Well, it certainly has. You know, I think it was a forerunner for many other games that were similar to that. You know, I think it gave our team a lot of confidence. You know, that game, and then even the next week against the Jets, which was similar but different in that we were more on the defensive side of it. You know, we had a couple defensive stops, but in those games, I think it gave the team a lot of confidence that, you know, in the time that we spent on situational football, end of the game type plays and situations, and that it produced some good results. That I think that certainly stimulated a confidence and a belief in the things that we were doing to prepare for those situations. So, you know, that was probably good. And obviously, when you look back at the end of the season, you see a game like that. You see how much that game means in the big picture. You know, had that one gone differently, then, you know, things would be a lot different now. So, or the way it went, you know, however you want to look at it. But it's, you know, when you're only playing 16 games, each one of those has an impact. And that was a big game for us. They're, you know, they're a good football team. They were then, and they are now.
Phil, so many different scenarios that could happen with the seeding and everything else in the AFC. I'm just wondering, on Sunday, will you pay any attention to what's happening in the early games or be apprised of any of that before you guys take the field?
No, I'm not planning on it. And, you know, I know when we walked out on the field for the Baltimore game last week, you know, I saw the score up on the board. And that's really the first time I saw it, that Buffalo had beaten Miami. So, you know, there's nothing we can do about any of those games. Whatever they are, we just have to concentrate on what we're doing, and you know, we need to do it for us. We're not really worried about what anybody else is doing. So,
there is a possibility of a scenario where, you know, say Denver gets up big on Oakland, and you guys could wind up at halftime be almost locked into your seat. Is that something? Would you take the same approach with that?
Yeah, again, I'm not even thinking about that. So, it's not even on my radar.
I know last year, thinking back to last year, but there was a couple of games, especially the first game up in Buffalo, and you guys ran the ball particularly well, taking advantage of it seemed like some of the self-defensive looks. I know it's new coordinator, a lot of new personnel, a lot of turnover, but one theme that seems to maybe carry over from last year to this year, a lot of maybe even dime looks from Buffalo. That's something you guys are seeing maybe more so than...
I think it's a little more situational, though. I mean, I think it's more situational. I mean, third down, you know, 2 minute, that kind of thing. But they don't get into a lot of dime until you're in a true passing situation. And I'd say it's a lot different. You know, overall in the running game, they've been pretty good. You know, and some of that, It's a little bit of the function of the fact that, you know, they've been behind in a few games, and so that's added to, you know, a few runs and a few yards that had the game been a little bit different, they might not have, you know, and they've had given up a couple big plays, you know, like the Tampa game, you know, give an 80-yard run, and so that really, you know, skews your average and your production. But, I mean, overall, they're very good in running situations like short yardage. You know, they're one of the better short yardage defenses in the league, good around the goal line. So, you know, I think they can definitely stop the run and play good run defense. Like all of us, they've had, you know, breakdowns like we all have. But I'd say overall their run defense is pretty solid.
Is there anything, so I know we've talked about some of the similarities between week one and now, you know, like one particular difference that might stick out, that they're doing something differently? Maybe it's personnel or maybe it's schematics that sort of stand out?
I mean, I wouldn't say. I would say that they've established, you know, I mean, similar to what we thought going into the opener. You know, the two of their best players play the same position, running back. They use both guys. They get a lot of production out of both guys. They don't change their offense when one, you know, when Jackson or Spiller's in there. But those two players add a different dimension to the running game because of their skills. But they're both very effective. You know, they've gotten big plays from their fast receivers down the field, and they've gotten a lot of consistency from Johnson and Chandler, as they always have, or they have in recent years. And kind of no matter who's played quarterback, they've had an element of mobility at that position to run bootlegs and, you know, scramble a little bit. I mean, not those guys are carrying the ball 20 times a game, but, you know, you got to be aware of their mobility and their quickness in the pocket. So, you know, defensively, they've, you know, we knew their front was good. Their front's still good. You know, I think the biggest difference from the first game is just, you know, with Gilmore and Bird back there. I mean, they've gotten a lot of production out of those guys. They got 22 interceptions this year. And they're a ball-hawking secondary, and Gilmore and Bird have certainly had their share. And, you know, Leonard, when he's played, which he played early and now he's playing late, he played, you know, kind of less in the middle. But, you know, he's shown up there, too, on the ball with interceptions and knockdowns in key situations. You know, Jacksonville, in the last week against Miami, had a couple, you know, fourth quarter, last drive kind of plays. So I'd say probably that's the biggest difference is just the you know, don't have Justin Rogers in there. You know, they, I mean, they've kind of, you know, changed their secondary around a little bit. Roby was, I think, even though he played in preseason, I think him starting at the nickel spot was a little bit of a surprise maybe that it would end up being him. But he's held that spot down all year. So I'm sure they feel a lot better about their secondary now than they did earlier in the season. And I'd say the rest of it's pretty much, you know, getting Ligurski back on the offensive line, you know, has definitely helped him. He's done a good job for him. So, you know, there's been a few, you know, minor things. I mean, obviously they've had a lot of transition with the kickers, and I'm sure that that's, you know, not what they're looking for. But, you know, those are two, you know, Carpenter and Mormon are two experienced guys that, you know, have played well through the years. But didn't look like that's what they were trying to go with, but I think that's probably worked out okay for them.
Bill, how do you feel like Stephen Ridley has handled what seemingly has been a little bit of a challenging year for him personally?
You know, Stephen's, I think, competed well all year. And, I mean, I think all our backs know and respect the abilities of the other players at their position, that there isn't just going to be one guy in the game all the time, that they're all going to play, they're all going to contribute, and they all have. I think it's a good group. I think they've all handled it well.
Why do you prefer maybe a committee approach or using multiple backs?
I prefer scoring and winning. That's my preference.
You were talking last week about your process of deciding who your game day 46 and the 7 inactives are going to be. I was wondering, in general, would you rather know as soon as possible who those 46 are going to be so that you can game plan with those guys in mind, or would you rather wait till the last minute?
No, sure. No, of course not. Rather practice the guys you know are going to play, but, I mean, this is the NFL. That's not, I would say it's not realistic. Could be. I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's realistically 16 weeks, you're probably 12, 13, 14 of the weeks. There's some degree of uncertainty as you, even today, Friday, you know, and a lot of times Saturday and even Sunday. I mean, we're working guys out Sunday before the game last week, you know, and that decision wasn't made. So, but yeah, it'd be great. You know, if everybody was healthy, you knew these are the guys that you're going to take to the game, and the other guys, are behind them, so they're the ones that are going to be inactive this week, then, yeah, should be great.
Well, how much do you value penalties when assessing how well disciplined your team is? I mean, you are near the bottom in terms of committing penalties, and a team like Seattle is at the very top. How do you value
them? Well, we don't coach penalties. We don't, you know, there's very few penalties, you know, maybe a delay of game, you know, situationally or something like that. You know, sometimes intentional grounding, you know, give a quarterback an opportunity to avoid a sack. But if they call it, he would have been sacked anyway. I mean, there's some penalties that aren't really bad penalties, but the rest of them just give your opponents yards and extra opportunities. So we try to eliminate penalties. I mean, that's one of our goals every week is to play penalty-free, you know, in each of the units. It's rare that that happens. It's actually happened, you know, several times this year, but that's our goal. Like, our goal is never to give away free yards and extra opportunities, so. But, again, situationally, there are times when, you know, a penalty is either a strategic play or an acceptable play, but we try not to commit it.
Tom was talking Wednesday about how you guys have your whole season ahead of you, and while the season is probably the longest time of your year in terms of hours work and all that, it's sort of amazing to think that we're already the final press conference of the regular season and it's a flown by.
Yeah, sure. And it sure has. Yeah. It just seems like we were at Thanksgiving and we were just at the bye week and then, you know, the season was starting and we were answering questions about Gronkowski's health and injury status every week. So, it didn't seem that long ago at all. Yeah, the year's gone by fast.
Does the season seem to go by faster than the offseason, even though you're winning?
Well, it goes by a lot faster when you're winning than it does when you're losing. I can tell you that from experience. When you're, you know, 3-12 or whatever, you don't get the feeling that it's gone by real fast. But fortunately, we haven't had too many of those. But yeah, this is it for us. I mean, really, it's a one-game season at this point. You know, you can't look anything past. There is nothing past this week. I mean, we have no idea what the season holds for us after this week. But this week would give us an opportunity to, move into the second round of the playoffs. So that's all we can control. Hopefully, that's what we're going to try to do.
How aware are your players of all the playoff scenarios, though? I mean, like, you make them aware of what everything.
They know that if we win, we're into the second round of the playoffs. And if we don't win, then we're most likely playing in the first round of the playoffs. And that's really all there is to know. With, you know, who, what, when, and none of that, you know, who knows. You have to be a mathematician and, you know, have great, great vision to figure all that out. But we know what we can control. And if we can win, we can get into the second round of the playoffs. So that's really, we know that. And I think right now that's really all we care about. To try to do what we feel is best for this to beat Buffalo. Anything we do is to try to do the best thing we can for the football team. Right now we're in a one-game season, so. Okay, great, thank you.